donate, and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Alrighty, we are back, and we're going to go and listen to a clip here. It's talking about a number of things, especially the Senate confirmations. But go ahead and take her away.
Fires that Gavin Newsom seems incapable of containing. The EO is titled "The Emergency Measures to Provide Water Resources in California and Improve Disaster Response in Certain Areas." I'm not gonna read all of this, but the important part says, for weeks, residents of the LA area have watched raging fires consume their homes, belongings, beloved pets, and childhood memories. Almost immediately, firefighters were unable to fight the blaze due to dry hydrants, empty reservoirs, and inadequate water infrastructure. It's in the nation's interest to ensure that California has what it needs to prevent these fires and fight them in the future. So it's now the policy of the United States to provide Southern California with necessary water resources. Trump then following up on Truth Social last night, posting this: the United States military just entered the great state of California and under emergency powers turned on the water flowing abundantly from the Pacific Northwest and beyond. The days of putting a fake environmental argument over the people are over. I'll show you the response from Gavin Newsom in a minute. We've been reporting on this coming battle between the Trump administration and the state of California for months now. Trump has his eye on California. He wants to solve these decades-old problems, one of them being the wildfire problem. And yes, it's true, California is prone to wildfire, especially over the last 70 years, since they dammed almost every single river in the state. If the water was allowed to flow naturally, it raises the humidity. At the moment, the state's a tinderbox, dry as a bone, but it doesn't have to be. SoCal was home to the largest freshwater lake west of the Mississippi. Did you know that? The San Joaquin Valley was lush, green, wet. There's supposed to be a massive lake there. It's only gone because California's policies diverted the water originally for agriculture purposes, but now for completely other reasons.
I'm signing an executive order to open up the pumps and valves in the north. We want to get that water pouring down here as quickly as possible and let hundreds of millions of gallons of water flow down into Southern California. And that'll be a big benefit to you. If you don't want it, you're going to tell me, but I can't imagine it. I tell you who does like it is the fire department. When I said that, they were very happy with that. They didn't mind hearing that. But we have a lot of water that is available. And I hope you can work that out among yourselves. But I think this will show that we have to have that water. We have to have that water. You're talking about unlimited water coming up from the Pacific Northwest, even coming up from parts of Canada. And it pours down naturally. It has for a million years. For a million years, it pours down. You'll never run out. You'll never have shortages, and you won't have things like this. And when you do, you'll have a lot of water to put it out. So I'm going to ask that you figure that out. But I really strongly recommended this 7 years ago, and I think I'm going to just do it.
Last night, Newsom's California Department of Water Resources responded, denying that the military has entered the state, writing this on X: the military did not enter California. The federal government restarted federal water pumps after they were offline for maintenance for 3 days. State water supplies in SoCal remain plentiful. Plentiful? If it was so plentiful, where was all the water for the last 3 weeks? It's all politics to these people. We'll keep you posted on this. There's a lot more coming between the Trump administration and the state of California. In another story, Trump's DNI nominee Tulsi Gabbard has her Senate hearing this week. She's scheduled to meet with the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. The members of this committee, specifically, most of them anyways, do the bidding of the IC. In my mind, it's not a stretch to assume that they're told how to vote and they listen, at least some of them. Well, they absolutely despise Donald Trump and Tulsi Gabbard. The members of this committee are briefed on national intelligence matters. They're looked at as a very powerful committee on the Hill. If you're in Congress, you want to sit on the intel committees. It's like the cream of the crop to these people. Well, Thursday's Tulsi's hearing, after she's grilled by them for a few hours in public, where I'm told they want her to publicly support FISA Section 702. That's the section of FISA that allows warrantless surveillance on American citizens. The committee will then vote if she has enough support to bring her nomination to a full Senate vote. Well, get this. The Intel Committee is planning to hold that vote in private, in secret, which never happens. We're supposed to know how our senators vote so we can hold them accountable. They want to hold this vote in secret because they're scared of the reaction. The last time they tried to vote no on one of Trump's nominees on Hegseth, Pete Hegseth, they got reamed out on X. Huge numbers of Americans applied pressure on Joni Ernst, who was hinting she would vote no. Well, that worked. Pete Hegseth has been confirmed as SecDef. In another story, CNN continues to get bad news. Last week, announcing a major shakeup at the network, 200 layoffs, including some of their key talent. Within that shakeup was Jim Acosta, who after 18 years at the network was moved from his 10 a.m. slot to midnight. CNN moved Jim Acosta to midnight. Well, yesterday, the Times reported that Acosta is going to be leaving the network, quitting. Then this morning, on his last 10 a.m. Eastern broadcast, he made it final, announcing he is officially resigning from CNN. Good riddance and good night, Jim Acosta. Watch this.
It is never a good time to bow down to a tyrant. I have always believed it's the job of the press to hold power to account. I've always tried to do that here at CNN, and I plan on going doing all of that in the future. One final message. Don't give in to the lies. Don't give in to the fear. Hold on to the truth and to hope. Even if you have to get out your phone, record that message. I will not give in to the lies. I will not give in to the fear. Post it on your social media so people can hear from you too. I'll have more to say about my plans in the coming days, but until then, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. It has been an honor to be welcomed into your home for all these years. That's the news. Reporting from Washington, I'm Jim Acosta.
And in case you weren't around 6, 7, 8 years ago, this is who Jim Acosta is. This is the guy who got spanked on live TV by Donald Trump. This guy was a menace during Trump's first administration. Watch this.
But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
so
on.
Well, that's true. They weren't actors.
They're not going to be doing
that.
They
weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood. Right. These were people. This was an actual, you know, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
Right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that... that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible.
In another story, chaos erupting at the southern border yesterday as Mexican cartels began firing at Border Patrol. A major firefight broke out. This comes just days after Trump deployed the U.S. military and designated cartels as foreign terror organizations. Yesterday, Texas DPS posted a video of the incident saying earlier today, Texas DPS responded to assist Border Patrol after agents received fire from cartel members in Mexico while patrolling in Front and Star County. Where were the Marines? Where were the Marine snipers? That's what I want to know. We know Trump just deployed more than 10,000 U.S. troops to the border, 500 Marines. What we'll likely begin to see, and soon, is a major effort to dismantle and destroy the cartels for good. There's one reason that they designated them a foreign terror organization, to provide Donald Trump, the executive branch, the leeway that he needs to go after them on Mexican soil. It also opens a pathway to follow the money trail back to these Mexican banks who are likely washing cartel money and have been doing that for years. For the first time, they'll be able to actually sanction the Mexican banks. Let's see what happens. All I'd say is, if I was the cartels, I'd be thinking about changing my name, moving to Antarctica right about now. All right, that wraps up this episode.
All righty, we're back, and I wanted to say real quick one more time before in this hour, because, you know, during the week, when these programs were replayed during the week, it split up here in the Ohio area.
Yes.
At 10 o'clock in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. So I wanted to let the folks know one more time about that meeting that's taking place there with Tactical Civics. Again, so do you think there are too many criminals? Yes. And not enough public servants in our government? Yes. Do you think that the criminals and the need consequences? Yes. And the servants need supervision? Yes. Do you think somebody should do something about it? Absolutely. If the answer is yes, join us to learn about the lawful, peaceful, permanent solution, Introduction to Tactical Civics. And again, this is growing around the country. They're Christian-based, conservative. It's about taking back control, okay, of the grand jury and inserting a constitutional militia the way that the Constitution gave it to us. Anyhow, so tomorrow, January 31st at 7 p.m. here in Northeast Ohio, they're going to have a main Tactical Civics meeting. Will be at the Ransom Sage Farm. That's the Ransom Sage Farm at 505 Center Street in Chardon, Ohio. That's the Ransom Sage Farm, 505 Center Street in Chardon, Ohio. And the zip is 44024. Okay. Now, I want to go to Tulsi Gabbard here. I watched that hearing. First of all, she handled herself very well. You know, I had some, you know, some doubts about her. But I've watched her. She's changed dramatically over the last few years, okay? I didn't like her at all because she was pro-abortion, and you know, you cannot be a decent person, be pro-abortion and be a decent person. You can't be, okay? You're pro-life, as far as I'm concerned. Right here in this book tells you that you're pro-life or, in my words, low-life, you know. Mm-hmm. The Bible has other words for it, unclean and so forth and so on. So here, but anyhow, she seems to have changed. She seems to have gone away from that and now become much more conservative. And here, but it was interesting, Richard, that, I mean, she handled these people that were attacking her very well. They kept trying to get her to say that Snowden, remember, that he was a traitor and that he was a criminal, and she wouldn't do it. You know, they wanted her, they tried to make her do that. They tried every which way, but, you know, she didn't fall for it. She didn't take debate. But there was an interesting thing that after that, when she was about to leave and they said, then we're going to have this private, we're going to go into a private session. Now, why would that be? You know, why would that be a private session? And I know she's went ahead and up the Department of Intelligence, okay? And so, but I've never seen him do that before, as far as, you know. But then another very interesting thing was when she was leaving, the people were told to stay in their seats, not to approach her. Don't approach her. And I'm thinking, what are, you know, are they worried about some of these Democrats in here trying to assassinate her or something, you know?
Yeah.
But then I do remember that during that those hearings, it was interrupted several times by Democrats and a bit communist, you know, hecklers that were in there that managed to get in there to heckle. And maybe they thought for her safety, I don't know. Maybe she asked for it, but I thought that was just very strange.
Yeah, I don't know why.
And I do know that, you know, you can't trust government today, and I think that's changing. That's going to change now with Trump. I don't know if we can ever trust the government again.
Yeah, I think what Trump is doing, he has a lot of wonderful things going on, but, you know, trust but verify.
And so, all right, the other topics, what else was he talking
Kennedy
about?
Kennedy here.
Did you want me to do one, another one? Or?
Well, no, we just listened to that.
Oh.
You know, they talked about the border and that.
Oh, okay.
And that was what we were referring to. Now, they said that was interesting how they said in that, where were the Marine snipers?
Yeah, they said they sent Marines over there.
Well, there's Marine and there's Army both down
there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So why don't the Marines respond with snipers? I mean, they'd have to have some snipers in their platoon.
I don't know. There's something. Maybe they're, I don't know, but you never can tell. Maybe they want to find out where the cartels, you know, where their caves are at, where their hiding places are at, or where they're, so maybe they're playing it slow for right now, but I do know that he's going to have to go in. Because this is going to be all out war now. They're not going to give this stuff up easy, and they're going to have to get very, very serious about taking these out. Now, we know that they're going to be battling with these NGOs. You know, you have these people, the Catholic charities and that.
Mm-hmm.
They made in millions of dollars, and everybody was wondering why. Why the Pope and the Catholic Church was putting up with Biden.
Yeah.
Here, Biden, I mean, this guy's, if it's a sin, if it's an absolute sin, whether it's abortion, sodomy, whatever the sin is, Biden would embrace it. Biden's a pedophile.
Okay? Yes.
And so he goes and he meets with the Pope. And a lot of the Catholics, because I talked to a lot of Catholics, they were wondering, why in the world doesn't the Church do something? Okay, why won't it deny him communion and this and that? Well, the answer is pretty easy, is the Catholic Charities is making hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, actually, the article that you had given me here says that $2.9 billion were funneled to the Catholics.
Okay.
Wow.
Vote lines are open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Go ahead and finish your article there.
Well, it says why the bishops have openly welcomed Biden to receive Holy Communion. They're talking about Holy Communion there, but the complete clergy just completed updates. It provided analysis of the migration-related federal funding awards to Catholic non-government organizations to include all 4 years of the Biden administration. They showed that projected federal immigration-related transactions from the U.S. government for the 16-year period. And they have a chart here in this handout. And it explains how the majority of those funds were from the Biden administration.
All right, very good. We're going to take some calls. Let's go out to San Diego, and we have Randy in the air.
God bless you, Pastor Ernie.
Hey, Randy.
You almost every night.
All righty.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. Who's on the radio? I didn't hear you on the radio. It's you and I, but that's okay. Linda Brown listens to you, too. I've been out here 52 years. I am a pastor also. I was with Calvary IV 21 years.
Oh, all right.
So a lot of your news is good. I want to add one thing. Fight the good fight. I want you to add one thing, if you don't mind.
Sure,
iron sharpens iron. Fight the good fight, and iron sharpens iron. They go together.
Absolutely, they do.
I just wanted to throw that out. It's my birthday. I'm 65.
Oh, wow.
Well, I need prayer. The insurance, they're changing me on my medical insurance, so I don't know what's happening. They gave me the wrong stuff. They took away my Medi-Cal and Molina. I'm supposed to have a procedure at UCSD Urology. They wanted $4,000. I don't have that. I'm low income. I work in the church and help with the homeless, feeding the homeless. Go ahead, Mr.
Good news, Randy, is someday you won't need any health insurance at all, okay?
I know that.
And
You're right, man.
Yeah. That's the best thing about getting old, sick, and dying. Okay.
I got you on that. I got a picture. I need to send it to you. I don't know how I'll get somebody to do it. I'm still climbing trees 100 to 150 feet high, and I've been climbing 55 years with tree spikes.
Wow.
That's my gym. God keeps me in shape.
All righty. Well, God bless you. I don't think you'll see Richard and I climbing a tree very.
Me neither. Oh, no.
All righty. Well, God bless. Let's go out. We have Clifford. Clifford's in the air.
Yeah, I have a question on Deuteronomy. I'll get to that. But two quick things. One is with Jim Acosta, it's ironic that a propaganda organization is complaining about Russian propaganda. Now, even if that was true, no Russian put a gun to anyone's head as far as voting. That would be Russian interference. If someone Russian walked up with guns and said, you better vote this way.
Well, you heard what Putin said here a couple weeks ago. Putin said, had Trump had not the 2020 election been stolen, had it not been stolen, Putin said this, and Trump had been back in office, he said there never would have been a war. He never would have gone into the Ukraine. He wouldn't have had to. It was Biden's actions that caused him to have to make that move. And that's what Putin said himself.
Wow. Yeah, well, Biden's a criminally insane. I mean, you know, that's what it comes down to. I mean, you don't poke the bear, so to speak. You know, he wanted that war with Russia, and he's putting everybody in this country at risk of getting nuked, basically. You know, he's a psychopath. Then the other thing is you were talking about the ICBMs. Now, the reports are Iran's got great ICBMs. They can hit any major city in Europe with their continental missiles. Now, the other thing is you can put a nuclear bomb on these missiles. You can load them on these missiles. And that's another smoke screen because they can get one from China, probably North Korea, as a good cache of nukes that they'll sell probably to Iran. So they don't need that nuclear reactor to get their hands on nukes and just load them up on those missiles. So, you know, that's another media complete smoke screen. So my question on Deuteronomy is chapter one.
Richard, I'm going to let Richard take this tonight.
Yeah. One is in the latter part of that, the Israelites complain God hated us. He took us out of Egypt. Now we're stuck out here. That's one thing. And then earlier on, it talks about the multiplication of blessings, and it uses 1,000 times. Now, I could relate that to the multiplication of the loaves would be over 1,000 times. Why that 1,000 times early on in Deuteronomy 1? What do you make of that?
What verse are you talking about?
A little bit earlier in Deuteronomy 1. Maybe it's like 10 to 20 range. It's talking about multiplication, and then it says 1,000 times.
Okay, the Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven. Well, he's talking about simply the population that they've, the amount of people here. I guess there's about, you know, here, there's only about 5,000 stars are visible to the unaided eye out there. In other words, if you go out there, look at nighttime, and you can actually count them, it's about 5,000 that you can see with your eyes. And they didn't have real good telescopes in those days. So I think the point he was making to the Israelis, okay, I have multiplied you, and when you're like the stars in heaven now.
Yeah, I think it's the number there is not necessarily a number as much as something so large. Because in verse 11 it says, the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are. So he's just saying that the number is very large. It's so much more. So I don't think that's a specific number as much as it's just showing something so large compared to the other. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, okay. So it's like something that it's a very roomy type thing.
It's like if you would say to your wife, I love you 1,000 times. You know, you just something so great.
Yeah.
I think so. If I was to say, I love you 1,000 times to my wife, she'd say, shut up. I probably wouldn't get past maybe 6 or 7.
Oh, dear.
She'd say, oh. I know my wife.
Okay.
Yeah. Hit the highway. Oh.
Yeah. All righty. Well, thanks, Clifford. We got to go out to Chicago and talk to Norma. Hey, Norma, out there in Chicago, how are you?
Hello, how are you? God bless you, Pastor Ernie Sanders. I pray for you all the time and listen to you. I just wanted to say, if people can, I listen to it. I mean, I watch it on my Kindle. It's called From Babylon to America. You will be surprised. This man has studied the Bible for 7 or 8 years, and I watched it. It's an hour or two. I think it's more than 2 hours. But it's called From Babylon to America. You'll be surprised who is the Antichrist.
Well, a lot of people today are they're saying that it's Donald Trump is the Antichrist.
He's not.
Oh, I know, but it says that man of Trump will be revealed, that man of sin will be revealed. Some of us will have a pretty good idea who he is, but he'll be revealed to the world after the rapture of the church is taking place.
Yes. But do you know, because you know your Bible, Pastor, do you know who it is?
Well, I know that as far as I'm concerned, the person that's got the most attributes and characteristics of the Antichrist would be Barack Obama. His name is actually in Scripture in several places, okay? And in fact, in one verse, his name is there, both Barack and Obama both, okay? And so and everything else about him, you know, the zip code where his office was, 60606, what he did, some of the things he did, the limousine he had built for himself was called the Beast. So,
yes, that's in Revelation also, but this man has studied the Bible, and in Revelation, God works with symbols. So, as of in Revelation, the sea, when they say the sea, S-E-A, it means multitude of people.
Yeah.
But if people will look at that,
well, whenever it was spoke about the waters, when it talked about the waters and that the that means the Antichrist is going to come from a Gentile nation. But others say just exactly the opposite, because if it refers to coming up out of the earth, that's a Jew. The Jews referred to coming up out of the earth. The Gentiles refers to coming up out of the waters.
Mm-hmm.
So what did that program say, From Babylon to America, the Antichrist is?
The Vatican.
Oh, the Vatican.
He wants to be equal with God, and you can't. I always thought, me as being Catholic, well, we're not supposed to confess our sins to priests. We go in the room, as the Bible says, go in your room and confess your sins and talk to God, but I believe it's the Vatican.
Hmm. Martin Luther also thought it was going to be the Vatican. The Pope that's there now, he's not a charismatic type of fellow, and I think he's a communist to the bone. And as far as being an Antichrist, there are many Antichrists out there today, and I do believe. In fact, I tell you what. A whole lot of friends of mine that are Catholics believe that he is an Antichrist. But I don't know. I don't think he's charismatic enough. Now, today there's a lot of people that actually think that Donald Trump is because of what he's been able to do and the things. I'm getting calls from people saying, don't you see it? Can't you see it? Okay. So anyhow, Scripture says that the world will know. We'll have a good idea before we're taken out who he is when he's here. But
yes,
but I'm going to go along with Scripture and let the world know after we're out of here, right?
Amen.
All right. Thanks, Norma. All right. God bless. She's a, boy, I'm going to tell you, she was praying for us. She lives in Chicago. We need to pray for her.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Amen, and we do.
All righty. We'll be back right after this. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold. I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Gonna see my family again. Gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you. Blessed by you. We've got about 10 minutes where we can take calls. So, but now we have none other than the illustrious Pastor Hal. Hey, Hal.
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay, did you get my text that I sent you?
Yeah, I got one text. I'll tell you what, this ark is amazing. This Creation Museum down here.
You still have that ark down there. Listen, stay there because we're supposed to get a lot of rain. And stay close to it.
You might need it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's a it's a revelation, you know. Just, I mean, the things you know already, but when you come down here and you just see it firsthand, it's
the world's largest wooden structure.
Right.
If they change any art, what about the technology, the robots there? I don't know. You don't call them like, are they androids? Do we call them androids? What do we call them?
I don't know, but they sure look real and act. You know, when you stand in front of them, their eyes will actually follow your eyes, and if you move, their eyes will follow you. The technology is amazing.
But if you look, get to the side and look very closely in their eyes, there's a little camera. You can see this little camera. it's very small.
You said one of the deacons in our church went down there, and he thought it was real.
Yeah, John. I convinced him, you know. Well, listen.
Where are you, Hal?
He's down at the Ark in Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, I just left the Creation Museum today, and I'm staying at a motel right now. Tomorrow morning, I'm going over to the Ark.
Okay. The Creation Museum is tremendous, too. Yeah.
Yes,
Is that just over the border, Covington, Kentucky, or?
Yeah, it's just right.
Is that Williamsburg?
Cincinnati.
Isn't that little town like something like Williamsburg?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been to that Ark 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. That's the world's largest wooden structure. And, you know, it's not, you know, when you think about it, once you've visited, then it's not hard to believe at all that he could have gotten exactly one of every living creature on that Ark, is it, Hal?
No, not at all. You know, everybody seems to think, you know, that Noah took full-grown animals on the Ark. But, you know, he probably took baby animals on there, small ones and everything, and it'd be so easy for him to fit all the animals that he took on there, you know, when they were, you know, young and still small.
Well, the average size of a dinosaur was actually about the size of a sheep. Most people don't know that. Did you know that?
No. Yeah, they had to start out somewhere.
Yeah, it was that Ark is just tremendous. It's again, it's the way that it was built and the way that it was designed to, you know, provide water, drinking water, and waters for showering, water for cleaning the decks and whatever. It's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and the way they managed to eliminate waste and everything else like that, it's like 21st century technology clear back in Noah's day.
I would encourage anyone who has not been there to go see the Ark at least one time.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've been there 3 times going over to, and just amazing. It really is amazing. But you know what? John wasn't the only one that was fooled by those androids or robots or whatever. I remember a fellow who was talking to him, not realizing, because we went in this restaurant and they had these two there in Shamrock, Texas, of an older couple, but they were androids. Looked very real, okay? And so, but I knew that they were androids and or robots, whatever you call them. But Hal doesn't know. He comes in and he sees them, and he's witnessing. He's trying to give them a tract.
So, oh, no, come on. As soon as you open the door to this restaurant, they're right there. You know, you don't expect them to be robots because they look so lifelike.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they really look lifelike. And so as soon as I open the door, you know, I sense that there's somebody standing there right in front of me, and I nod hello and how you doing and everything.
Then why did your face get all red when I asked you to introduce me to your friends?
By that time, I realized they were robots.
that was an interesting town. Everything in that place was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, that one guy, he was in there in the restaurant playing a guitar, some country music. And the waitress was in the back busy, so he puts down his guitar right in the middle of his song and puts on
a
waiter's outfit and comes over and starts waiting on us.
Here we got this guy sitting up on a stage, his cowboy boots, a cowboy hat, this tall, thin, and he's playing and he's singing, and we're sitting there, and then he stands up, puts down his guitar, he puts on an apron, and he comes over to the table, right?
Take your order, yeah. Huh?
And so remember when the waitress comes out, And you asked her, where's everybody at? She says, you're looking at us, honey.
That little sound looked like something out of a movie or a TV show. It's like lights were on in the businesses, but there was no people there. It's like, when they were getting ready for a shootout or something like that, and everybody went hiding or something. It was amazing. And then my daughter was with us, and she said she's going to get out and walk around. I said, no, you're not.
No, you're not either. No, not out here. Well, when we came into that town, there was a lot of abandoned buildings. It was like a ghost town. The first section was a ghost town. Just like, you had the tumbleweed, and you had the wind blowing, and you had the shutters banging back and forth, and the windows busted out. And then as you got into about the center of the town, that's where there were people and businesses still in business and everything.
Wow.
But that was really something. But I got a room there. And this room was a really nice room. And it had a big walk-in shower and everything.
Wow.
$34.
Wow.
Remember, Hal?
Yeah, unbelievable.
I couldn't believe that, yeah. $34. Wow. And so, but anyhow, that was an amazing time. Anyhow,
that one restaurant that had a flying saucer on the roof of it.
Yeah, that was another one of those very interesting restaurants, and somebody I know fell in love with the waitress. I got to admit, she was pretty. Okay.
Yeah.
She was really pretty. But anyhow, that's besides all that. I guess that's not really a lot of interesting news, is it?
Well, every place we went, though, we passed out gospel tracts, chick tracts, told people how to get saved, and, we got some good responses. And, that waitress you were just talking about, last thing, when I was going out the door, I turned around, looked back, and she was really reading that tract. She was about right in the middle of a This Was Your Life tract, and she looked like she was really getting into it.
Yeah. Well, praise the good Lord. That was a very interesting trip. I've been thinking about doing that again. But we're getting around that time that we get to every night at this time when we get to the most important part of this message. Now, I've been giving that gospel message all week long, so I'm going to let you and Richard give the invitation tonight because that is the most important part of the message. It is, right? Because it's the only part that's going to last forever. Everything else we've done today and we've said tonight will be forgotten sometime, okay, mm-hmm. except for the scripture that we read, okay? But that won't be forgetting, will it?
No way.
Pastor Rich, why don't you go first this time tonight?
Sure, I'd be glad to. When we talk about where you're going to go to when you die, that is the most important question, and are you sure that you're going to go to heaven? And that's really the question. Are you going to go to heaven or are you going to go to hell? No one is sent to hell. They send themselves to hell. And we have to take a look at what we really want in life, and is it really worth spending eternity in hell because you don't want to listen to the gospel and understand what the gospel is? The gospel is very simple. It's just understanding who Jesus Christ is, understanding that he is the Son of God, that he came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, shed his blood on the cross for our sins, died on the cross, and rose again. And that's the most important thing, is that he rose again. He did what he said he was going to do, and that if we will be willing to accept that and turn from our sins, whatever our sins may be, and turn to him and have him as our Savior from sin and also our guiding us in our lives, our Lord. And if we are willing to do that and ask him into our hearts, we can be saved. And it's a real simple process. All you need to do is, it says to confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, turn from your ways. That's called repentance. We're not only turning from our sins, but we're turning towards Christ, turning to Jesus Christ for salvation, and accept him as our Lord and Savior. The scripture tells us that we will be saved. Go ahead, Hal.
Yeah, in Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So in other words, it's not our good works that gets us saved. If you could quit sinning right now and never sin again the rest of your life, which would be absolutely impossible, just the sins you've already done would keep you out of heaven. Because God hates sin. No matter how much he loves you, he hates sin. And he can't let you come into heaven with your sins, because heaven wouldn't stay heaven very long if he allowed 8 billion people to come into heaven with their sins, a lifetime of sins and everything. But when Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him, in his love for you and me, he was allowing Jesus to transfer every sin you've ever done upon his son, Jesus. And right before Jesus died, he said, it is finished, which means every sin you've ever done has been accepted by God as payment in full for, with what Jesus did and the blood he shed on that cross. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. So in other words, it was the blood of Jesus Christ that washed away your sin and mine. If you receive him as your Savior, John 1:12, here's the key. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So even though Jesus Christ died for you on that cross and shed his blood for you on that cross, it doesn't become yours and it does not apply to you unless you receive it. Otherwise, you're going to die and go to hell, even though Jesus paid the price for you, because he says, in whom we have redemption, you have to receive it. And Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, in other words, hear my word and open the door, I will come into him. Now, Jesus can force the door of your heart open, but then salvation wouldn't be a gift. And he did all the work necessary for you to go to heaven. And Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it's the gift of God. So Jesus did all the work. You can't add nothing to it, except either you receive it or you reject it and ignore it, you die and go to hell. And so my job as a preacher and Pastor Rich's is to lead you to Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You don't get to heaven by Mary, Peter, Paul, joining a church, having some priest do some absolution over you that means absolutely nothing. You can get baptized so often every tadpole in the creek knows your Social Security number and still die and go to hell. Because remember, it's the blood of Christ. That was the blood of God himself that washes away your sin and is applied to you when you, by faith, receive Jesus in your heart as your Savior. And like Pastor Rich says, it's with a repentant heart. It's with admitting to God that you're a sinner and you're sorry about the fact that you're a sinner, and you ask Jesus to come in. And now, if you'd like to do that, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To call means to pray. That means right now with Jesus Christ hearing me talking to you and looking at your heart right now and knocking at the door of your heart, if you will open that door by prayer and faith, ask Jesus to come in, he'll do it because he wants to save you, but he's leaving it up to you. So if you want Jesus as your Savior, pray this prayer with me. Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on that cross and shed your blood to wash away my sins. So I here and now, Lord Jesus, here and now ask you to come into my heart and give to me that payment you paid for me on that cross. Give me eternal life. Save my soul from hell. And I'll give you all the praise and glory for it forever and ever in Jesus' name. Now, 1 John 5:13 says, if you prayed that, he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? That you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may think it, wish it, or hope for it, but that you have it. That means right now, present tense. And what do you have? Eternal life. And how do you know? Because God said so. And you can't get better than that, because God can't lie. Okay.
And you know, that's a lot of people say, well, I'm a good person in that. I've lived a good life. Well, the scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So whether you've lived a good life or not, there's sin there's some sin in your life that you cannot clean up by just being a good person after that. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to do that.
Amen.
So what do you tell those folks to say? Well, there are many roads to heaven. You know, Obama said that Jesus was a savior, but he was only one of many saviors. What does that mean the Bible says about the wide road and the narrow way, okay? So on the wide path, there's many, many ways, but that's not exactly what Scripture says, is it?
Nope. Scripture says that Jesus is the only way.
And so are there absolutes? Because there are those out there that say there's really no real absolutes, that nothing is for sure, right?
Yeah, the absolute is the holy word of God, the Bible.
Absolutely, isn't it? Because those that would tell you that there are absolutely no absolutes, right?
They're absolutely wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
They just want to continue in their sins and try and find some excuse to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, like they say, well, there's no absolutes, right? Well, we breathe air, right? But there's a lot of different gases. You got chlorine and you've got others. But the only thing that we can breathe and survive is air, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an absolute, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. And so, folks, the Bible says that there's absolutely one intercessor between God and man. One. Just one. And that's the Lord Jesus. And you say, well, the Bible's only one book amongst many. Oh, yeah. But it is the absolute authority.
Right.
I mean,
it's proved this special by fulfilled prophecy. No other book has fulfilled prophecy like the Bible.
There's no other that's absolutely as accurate as the Word of God. The Word of God is, you know, the King James Bible is all by itself. It's got no rivals at all, does it?
Amen.
Amen. Perfect word.
So you've got God's word on it, folks. Let me tell you, and today is the acceptable time. When the preacher preaches or gives himself the invitation, he's just the messenger, And the message comes from God.
Yes, we're just newspaper boys. We're just passing out the good news here from the Bible. That's all we are.
So the people that listened to it and did it, they had no regrets. But those that didn't do it, they have a lot of regrets, don't they?
Oh.
And those regrets are gone. Well, we're at that time we come to every night at this time where we say thanks for being here with us and thanks for all your support. And we want to say God bless.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Then we get to that point where we say, and then always, ready? Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.